Hallelujah. That is incredible. Incredible. Praise God, huh? I was telling them in the first service, how many of you are sitting there right now saying, we should have came out last week to the concert for these kids? Incredible. They got a great job, didn't they? Praise God. Praise God. Wow. Before I start preaching, I'm already behind a little bit, but let's talk about something real quick. Last week we announced to you that the result of an offering that we took for the Batias, for the Sikh International Ministries. And we sent a check this week to the Batias for over $18,000. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you. I wanted to just say thank you to Valley Bible Church, to the people of Valley Bible Church, who were unaware that 2 weeks ago when you came in, you were unaware that we were going to do that offering. And I was going to tell you guys that normally we would take these offerings, these Bible offerings, with Pastor Phil's Bible. But he wasn't here. So we used my Bible. And so I don't think it has anything to do with the Bible. I think it has a whole lot to do with the Lord on your hearts and giving the money. And so thank you so much for doing that. We received the cards, different ones received cards from our ministry leadership, thanking Valley Bible Church on behalf of the Batias for their, not just the offering, but for the encouragement, the love they felt from you as individuals. And so thank you, Valley Bible Church, for that. Now, this is not a setup. I was going to do that anyway. But how many of you know our brother Kim Smith, our missionary to the Liberian folks? How many of you remember him? All right, about a month ago, Kim, if you would look at this picture that's not there. Oh, there it is, behind me. You see this car, that little Toyota there with all that stuff on top? What they do is Kim is in a Zirjwa, I think is the name of the place where he's at, where they don't have lots of supplies. And so what they have to do is they have to go over to Monrovia, which is about a six-hour trip, I was told, in order to get supplies and bring back to the villages. And they do a lot of travel by motorcycle, that type of thing. Well, Kim was in a car. They just rent these. It's like, this is Uber in Liberia. They rent cars from these people, and they drive them back and forth. But they overload the car like that. I told the first service, there's no need for seatbelts because they have so many people crammed in there, there's nowhere for you to go. You just, it's almost serious. They have like 25 people that will ride in that car. And you can see that it's very top-heavy with all that material on top of it. Well, about a month ago, Kim was in an accident in one of these vehicles. And I think we reported that to you earlier. But he has a board that he meets with, and they have asked him to please get a vehicle. And so we're going to, in 2 weeks, take a special offering on behalf of Kim Smith to help him be able to get a vehicle where he won't be at the mercy of drivers that drive super fast because they're just trying to get another trip in, trying to make their money as much as possible. And so we were going to allow another one of those offerings to be taken so that you have an opportunity to bless Kim Smith with maybe a vehicle that will allow him to minister even better in Liberia. All right. Yes, thank you. Thank you. So you can prepare for that. Take a loan against your house. Do whatever you need to do to be ready for that offering in a couple weeks. I will not be here. I'm on vacation, but I will give in that offering, I promise you. All right? But anyway, so here we are. I'm always excited. I consider it a privilege to stand in this pulpit, to be able to preach the Word of God, to be able to tell you the things of the Word and watch God use that, use His Word to change your lives. Such a privilege to do that, and I love it, and I'm always excited to be able to do that. But today, I'm especially excited. And I want you to turn your Bibles to Philippians. That's where we've been. We've been in this Unstoppable Joy book, we call it. It's Unstoppable Joy. And so we want you to go to chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through 16. I decided to title the sermon Pressing On, but since it shows up a couple times in those verses, I figured that would be a good thing to talk about. And since that is the the crux and the pointedness of this particular section of Scripture, we will see that Paul points out that he has one ambition, and that is to press on towards the prize. So we'll read the text here in a moment, and then I will do my best in the next hour or two, a lot of me, to work through the wonderful passage that we're about to look at. And I will do my best to get through it quickly without leaving anything behind. But I'm going to tell you right now, first service, I didn't even get to 15 and 16, and I was about 7 minutes over. So now you know what you're facing. Let's read it together. Let me go back a little bit. Let me go back to verse 10, just kind of pick up there, and we'll walk forward with it. If I can get my glasses out, there we go. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid a hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. In these verses, we see a definite athletic attitude toward it. You're to run the race. You're to be in the race. There's a race. We call it the race of faith, if you would. And he calls it pressing on. Keep moving forward. Paul makes that comparison, and as he made that comparison to the people of Philippi, I'm imagining as this letter was read to them, they could almost see the runners lining up for the race. And in their minds, they could easily see that. They could see the smooth, coordinated strides, the pumping arms, the steady rhythm of a runner who's running to win a prize. The pounding of the feet, the oxygen being taken in and expelled back out of the body as they run hard, because they didn't do all the training that they were doing for a race to lose it. They didn't do it to finish second. You do it to win the prize. And I thought it was interesting as I read through this passage, I thought of the Paris Olympics that we just had. How many of you followed that a little bit? I asked the people earlier, did they watch the Olympics? And about three hands went up. And I said, how many watched the highlights? And everybody's hands went up. Because I do the same thing. I'm not going to watch 4 hours of the Olympics to see one runner that I want to see. And I happen to be a fan. I'll just tell you right now, I'm a fan of Sydney McLaughlin. Because the young lady is not only an incredible athlete as far as her running ability, but she's equally incredible at representing Jesus Christ. Yeah, she's definitely represents. Matter of fact, they got to take the mic off of her because they don't want to hear about Jesus. But she's running the race, not just the Olympic race, and breaking world records, but she's running the race for Christ is what she's doing. And I appreciate that, and I became a huge fan when I saw that. But that's what I thought of. Looking at this, I thought of those Olympic runners, and I thought of the training regiments that these guys go through and these ladies go through. And that's what we're doing in the race when we're running for Christ. We're training. We should be working hard at it. And so those runners running as hard as they can, pushing themselves toward a finish line, toward the prize. And I don't think any of them, when they're working out and trying their best and they're clocking and taking control of the times that they're doing. They keep trying to improve those times, and they're working super hard. They're in the weight room early. Their dietary restrictions that they go through, the amount of stuff that they don't allow themselves to do so that their body will be chiseled out. And I didn't see any sprinters at the Olympics, none of them running the 100-yard dash. I could not find one speck of fat on their bodies. Let me tell you something. That's true because they don't get up in the middle of the night like I do and eat vanilla Haagen-Dazs ice cream. Because they're getting ready to run a race. And they're working hard at it. And they've been doing that for years. It's not just I got ready 3 months ahead of time. No, no, no. They got ready for years. They've been working toward this goal. So as they do that, I don't think any of them, I don't care what country they're from, I don't think any of them go, I'm just happy to be here. There's a point that they say that. I'm sure they are like, hey, I'm thrilled to be at the Olympics and be able to compete. How many of you are happy to be in the race of faith? That's pretty good. I got three people down here that are excited about it. How many of you are happy to be in the race of faith? Yeah, yeah. But I don't think they train real hard to just get there. They have in view the prize. And the prize is not fifth place. Matter of fact, in the Olympics, you got to get in the top three to get a medal. And I think that's even probably something. If I did all that work, I want gold. I want the number one prize. I'm looking for that prize. That's the goal. I have a goal in mind. Athletics says, now listen, if you talk to my mom or my Aunt Carolyn or somebody like that, you might find out that they do stuff for fun. I like to play volleyball for fun. I want to kill you when I play volleyball. I want to win. I'm playing that game even in a very secular kind of a amateurish way. I want to win. I didn't sign up for this to lose. I signed up to win. And so in this race, guess what? This is very interesting. In the race that Paul is talking about here that he's relating to the Christian life, you've already won. You've already won. You haven't attained the prize yet, but you won. You're a winner. If you're in Jesus Christ today, you're a winner. You're going to win. Yeah. But the question is, what are you doing now? What are you doing right now today? And that's what he's pointing out. And it's, you should be trying to win the prize. And what is the prize? The prize is Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't you want to win that prize? But let me tell you something. All of the athletic imagery that Paul writes here about is to show us that the Christian life is comparable to an athletic race. And in order to advance in your personal holiness, your own sanctification, the godliness that you should be desiring, the spiritual maturity, it will require the expending of great energy and effort. You don't get to know this Savior by being lazy. You don't get to the Olympics by not training properly. You want to know him? You better get ready to do some work. There's some sweat you're going to have to put in to get to know him. And but what I found out about this is that the more I get to know him by working hard to find out who he is, the more I want to know him. There's a hunger. There's a thirst. You get close to him, you want to get closer. You want to keep getting closer. Listen to this. Great energy. Great commitment to actually become like Christ. Let me ask you something. Can you become like someone that you don't know anything about? No, you can't. How can you become like someone that you don't know? You might be like them because you have same DNA or the same family member and stuff. But typically, I was looking at myself in a picture the other day, and my family would laugh at this. I don't look anything like the Howard family. I don't. I took after my grandmother's side, actually. And it's interesting, their last name was Lawrence, and my first name is Lawrence, so go figure. I was doomed. I don't look like my family. But guess what? There are so many expressions I have that look just like my dad. There are expressions I have that look just like my Uncle Phil. And there's mannerisms and things like that that don't, not the physical appearance. I'm not going to look like Jesus. I'm not going to look like him. I'm going to be distinct. He's distinct. But as I get to know him, I might actually start to look a little bit like him. Some of the expressions I might have might match up with his expressions. Amen? And that's true for you too. But if you don't open the book, if you don't persevere, I'm going to read you a list. Oh, listen to this. You will not win the prize just coasting and cruising. You won't win the prize. We must press on. We must push ourselves ahead. And concerning this race, the race of faith, listen, there's six things I wrote down. The start of the race is when we are born again. If you're here today and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not in the race. But boy, we'd certainly like to get you involved. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But the start of the race is when you're born again, when you accept Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit comes in your life and he rips the veil from your eyes and he shows you who Jesus Christ is and he lets you hear the good news and you say, yes, I want that. God gave me the faith to believe and I want it, so I believe it, and now I'm a child of God. I'm automatically now qualified to run the race. If you don't believe in him, you're not qualified to be in the race. The track we run on is the will of God. My pathway in this life is based on the scriptural references, but also the will of God in my life. That's my path. That's my track. And guess what? I don't know about you, but my track doesn't go in an oval shape. My track has not gone in an oval shape. I've run all over the place. Sometimes I'll sit down. Sometimes I'm trying to get a drink of water. Why am I not running? Why am I not? And I love that Paul does what he does here. But let me keep going. The number three thing, the rules which we compete by is the Word of God. Obedience to the Word of God from the heart is a requirement. You'll go nowhere in the race if you don't at least obey the Word. Number four, progress is our spiritual growth in grace. Our progress is spiritual growth graciously given to us by the Father through the Holy Spirit, teaching us the Word of God, teaching us who He is, revealing Himself to us as we study, as we put in that effort. And then this is the interesting part. And you might come up with 95 things, but this is what I came up with. The finish line for the pressing on, the race that we're in, ends at the time of your death. Or, if we're fortunate, on Christ's return. Because that's, my grandpa would call that airmail. I want to go airmail, but if I have to go subway, that's okay. I got a ticket either way. I'm going to be there. Just look for me, for I intend to be there anyway. And my grandpa said, when he was dying, he would slap his hand and say, oh, soon I'm going to leave this old tent behind. But when you get there, I'll be waiting for you at the corner of Glory and Hallelujah Street. What an absolute legacy that I have with my family. I wasn't going to talk, didn't talk about this in first service, sorry. But people that love the Lord, study the Word, and wanted for me what they had. Is that what you want for your family? Are you running the race? Are you pressing on so that you can give that legacy to your family, to your neighbors, to your loved ones? Oh, there's a requirement to press on. So the prize is not in this lifetime, really. Now, there's lots of rewards in this life, but the true prize that we're running for we won't get until he either comes back and grabs us, because I think he's going to snatch us up out of here eventually. I'd love to be alive when that happens. I told him, I started shouting a little bit in the first service, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I was thinking about it. I go, my goodness, wouldn't it be amazing if I start telling you about Jesus and what he's done for you? And he decided to come back while I'm standing in the pulpit. Oh my. What a thing. Now, I may not be that lucky, but that's okay. It's okay. He's got that all figured out. I don't have to worry about it. I would love for it to happen. I would. That would be such a fun thing. I want you to meet Jesus. Oh, wait, wait. He's right here. There he is. Wouldn't that be incredible, right? That'd be fun. That's kind of the noise I made in the first service, and then my wife gave me a look, so I stopped doing that. But I was pretty excited thinking about that. The prize is to see Jesus Christ himself in glory. That's the thing we're striving. And to be made like him. The prize is to have full knowledge of Christ. Christ himself is the prize. So when we look at these passages, when we look at that, I look at verse 12, and I love this thing, because I believe that what Paul is doing, is he's going to do like four different things, and I'll try and talk to you about those in this passage. But the first thing he does is he does a self-evaluation. He's as an assessment of his own Christian life. Now, we could take a poll, and I'm not going to do that because we don't have time for that. But many biblical scholars, smarter than I am for sure, would say that Paul was probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. And he's going to do an assessment and show you how far short he is of attaining the prize. I say thank God for him doing that. It gives me such encouragement that I haven't reached there yet either. And I don't know that if I was in that race, I would even be on the same lap with Paul. I don't know if I'd be able to see the back of his head even. But I'm glad that he decided to give a self-assessment. And it's encouraging to me. It may be encouraging to you too. Paul begins with a spiritual assessment. He wants us to know that he knows he has not arrived. I have not attained it yet. I haven't attained it. I'm running for it. I'm pressing on toward it, but I've not attained it yet. And I like to say I have not arrived, and I will not have arrived until I arrive there. That's when the true arrival takes place. Because I'm just human in flesh, no different than you. And there's lots of potholes in the race. Lots of bumps and turns that getting off the pathway sometimes. I've done it. Done it multiple times. Not that I've already obtained it. He hasn't attained it. And in this life, you just won't ever attain it. But it doesn't mean you're not supposed to press on. I've come to know him, but I don't know him fully. How many of you think you know him fully? Don't raise your hand, please. No one knows him fully. You're going to spend eternity knowing him and getting to know him. You're going to learn of his grace in eternity. Do you know that eternity, the only reason you get to spend eternity is because of his grace? And it's an ongoing gracious act that he allows you to be in heaven with him. Now, it's a promise he made, so he's going to fulfill the promise, but it's because of his grace, because of his mercy. He said in Ephesians 2 that in the ages to come, we would learn of his grace. We will learn of his mercy in the ages to come. What do you think that means? Don't say it out loud. What it means is that there's ages that are just going to keep rolling. They're just going to keep rolling in. And you're just going to keep learning about his grace and learning about his mercy and learning about him. The finite, we can't even imagine this. The little finite mind that I have that's probably, you know, my IQ, I don't even know what that is. But whatever that is does not even begin to understand an infinite God. Now, he reveals what he wants me to know about him. He reveals through the Word of God what I need to know about me as a person, as a human. There's a lot of things in there that I don't necessarily like to see about me in the Word of God. But they're truisms, and I need to know those. and so do you. So he says that I have not already obtained it. I have not yet laid hold of it or have become perfect. And he says that over in verse 15, let us therefore as many as are perfect. Let me give you a little definition of that because that can be a little confusing. When he says perfect, the word means to bring to an end or finish. And it refers to sinless perfection. It refers to full maturity in Christ. Okay? So when he says, you know, some of you are perfect, well, I haven't met anybody perfect yet. Sorry, Aunt Carolyn. I haven't met anybody perfect yet. All right? So, but there are some that have attained different levels. And so Paul's self-awareness about where he is just so important, though, as I said, he'd been a Christian for 30 years at this point. He's writing this. Now remember, he's telling you to press on, and he's saying to do it now. He's make it your top priority. This is my one ambition. He's saying do it, and he's saying do it now. The second point is he says swift pursuit of it. Don't wait till tomorrow. Get in the race today. Are you running the race? If not, why not? Have you forgotten what he's done for you? That you would say, you know, I'm just tired. I'm tired. What are you tired of? I'm tired of being tired. Well, guess what? The leadership around here is tired of you being tired too. We'd like to see you in ministry. We'd like to see you in the race. Amen? Amen? All right, that's better. So let me ask you something. How long have you been in this race? How much do you truly know of Christ? Whatever that answer is, whatever you're thinking about right now, no matter how far you are, you might have been pursuing him for 60 years, maybe more. I know one man in the room right now has been pursuing Christ for 65 years. I won't point out who that is, but he's been pursuing Christ for 65 years. And I would dare say he hasn't even scratched the surface of who he is. There's so much more to know of Christ, so much more spiritual maturity and growth that we all need. And we need to experience. This is where Paul begins with self-evaluation of his Christian life. So that's the first point. Second point is to that swift pursuit. In verse 12, his assessment is that, but I press on. When did he say it? He says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. It's the immediacy of it. He's like, I'm pressing on. I'm not sitting down because I haven't obtained it. I'm never going to obtain it if I sit down. How do you win a prize when you don't even run the race? You don't. It's a surefire way to lose. Just sit down and don't do anything. Guess what? In this life, you'll be a loser if you don't follow after him. You know what my hope is? Is that when I get to heaven, I'll know a little bit about him. Not, well, I got here, well, I hoped you were real. Oh, no, no, no. I studied. I dug into the book. I did historical research. I know you are who you say you are. I knew that as well as I'm standing here now. I know it. It's true or nothing's true. And if nothing's true, I pity all of us. But it is true. He is the Savior of the world. No doubt. But the immediacy, I press on. I haven't obtained it yet. I've been doing this for 30 years. He's met with me personally, and I still don't know him fully, but I'm pressing on. I'm running the race. And that press on, a lot of times it's mentioned 44 times in the New Testament, this press on. And a lot of times it's in a way of persecution. But in this situation, it's not. It's like someone's pressing on you to persecute you. This is not that case. Paul is the one pressing on, and he's trying to catch up to Christ. I want to get the prize that's in front of me. What's the prize? It's Jesus Christ. It's to be like him. That's what I want. I'm pressing on. Why are you running the race? Did you just, at your salvation, Did you just get fire insurance? Or did you fall in love with a Savior and say, I want to know this one. I want to know him in his fullness. I'm going to pursue him at every corner. I'm going to pursue him. I'm going to run on. I'm going to press on. I got to keep moving. And I haven't always done it. None of you have either. But oh, I want to. I want to. I'm going to work harder at it. I'm working harder today than I ever have to know this Christ. And I know him. I've already got his righteousness. I'm seen as resurrected in him. I've already have my ticket, as my grandfather said, but oh, I want to know him better right now. Right now. I used to say that I want to pray enough in this life so that whenever a time comes that I really truly need an answer from God, my voice will be familiar to him. Now that's theologically incorrect, but oh, it sounds good for me. Makes me think I gotta be talking to him. And when do you do it? Now. If you're not in the race, get in the race. One surefire way, if you're here right now and you're not in the race, you know you're not. Listen, I don't have to convince you you're not. You know you're not. I don't have to do that. That's the Holy Spirit telling you, why don't you know more about my Savior here? Why don't you know about him? What are you doing? Wait, how much TV did you watch last week? How much YouTube and all that other stupid stuff that's on the internet? It's all foolishness. They're talking about politics. They're talking about same sex. They're talking about transgenderism. And all they're doing is getting you all fired up and mad at the world. And now you're just sitting on the sideline listening to that garbage instead of running the race. Get in the race. It doesn't mean we don't have an opinion about those things or we don't have a conviction about those things, because we do. But you got to get in the race. Don't get sidetracked by all that. What are you doing about that? Oh, I'm watching another YouTube video making me angry. Oh, you're right, I am preaching. And I'm stepping on your toes real good. You know why? Because I watch YouTube too. But nothing you do watching YouTube is pointing you toward Christ, unless you're watching a bunch of MacArthur videos or Phil Howard on there maybe. I look at the numbers, none of you are watching mine. Listen to what Paul, this is what Paul's life looked like in his race. Listen, press on in an aggressive, energetic pursuing after Christ, that Paul might know him in more intimate way in his pursuit of sanctification. He is doing all within his God-given powers to pursue Christ. And look at what he does. It says he's buffeting his body. He's making his own body a slave so that he can run the race. Because see, my body says, watch the video. Sit in your easy chair. Turn on the electric blanket. Get real comfy. Fall asleep in your chair. Oh, there's learning a whole lot about Christ sleeping in a chair. I got to buffet my own body. I got to say, I got to get in shape for this. Don't let your mind be a waste. Don't arrive in heaven and go, oh, I wish I would have pursued you more. Oh, I wish I'd have run the race. There'll be a lot of people in heaven that didn't really run the race. They ran a little while and they stopped. They got hurt at church. Something happened. Oh, the human beings in the room let me down. Well, we'll let you down every time, I promise. Don't follow me around too much. You'll be disappointed. Buffet the body. Look at what Paul says. Resist the devil. Flee temptation. You know what? You know how you flee temptation? Run! If you run fast enough, the temptation's there and it's gone before anything can happen because you ran past it. What's he say about sexual immorality? Run! What's the problem? Everybody's watching porn on YouTube or wherever you're watching it. I don't know where you're watching. On the internet. Run past it! What are you doing? Get in the race. Press on. If you start reading your Bible, you won't have any time for that garbage. Man, I might preach a little. Put to death the deeds of the flesh. Set your mind on things above. Confessing his sin, repenting of his sin. This is Paul, and we're to follow that example. Disciplining himself for the purpose of godliness. How many of you are disciplining yourself for the purpose of godliness? Studying the Word of God. Studying it. Dig in. Find out some truths that will help you get through the day. Persevering in prayer without ceasing. It's the one thing that you can do. It's the power source is prayer. Knowing about him is a great thing. You know, I was told years ago, taught by Pastor Phil, what you want to do, you want to inhale the Word of God. You want to inhale the Word of God. Get it in your life, but you want to exhale in prayer. That's the Christian life. Inhale the Word of God and exhale in prayer, and then take care of one another. Disciple someone. Speaking of discipleship, make sure if you want to get in this race and you haven't been running the race and you want to get in it and get a spot in the race, I want you to get a number, get the tag on you, get the whole thing, get a vest, get the pretty little socks, all of that. Buy yourself some new tennis shoes. On your way out today, on your way out today, sign up for a small group. Don't tell me I want to know him better and then I won't sign up for a small group. Are you kidding me? Quit lying to me and you. Fighting the good fight. Putting on the full armor of God. Putting off the old man and putting on the new. You know, you're not a slave anymore to sin. You got a righteousness in Christ. You don't have to sin anymore. The Holy Spirit's in you. You can depend on him and not sin. You're going to sin. You're in flesh. But one day, in the pursuit of Christ, one day I'm going to die. I'm going to leave this world. He's going to come back, and he's going to grab all the rest of you that have been left behind, and he's going to give you a new body where you will never sin against him. Woo-hoo-hoo. That, hey, that's not loud enough. You're going to never sin again. Yeah. And he's one ambition. His one ambition is to go after this. I was thinking of Saquon Batia. When he was with us, he told us that he was in an upper casting in India. A wealthy man. His dad had wealth beyond what he could spend. But he met Jesus Christ, and he got in the race. And he began to press on. And his family disowned him. No inheritance, no nothing. He said, it's worth it to have nothing in this life, to have everything in the life to come. Oh, press on. He's pressing on. I love it. And so what's the point? So that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. How many of you think you were... I was telling them earlier, but there's so many young people in the room, nobody will remember this. How many of you remember the bumper sticker, I found it? Yeah. Everybody's afraid to raise their hand because it'll show how old you are. During Jimmy Carter's presidency, there was a bumper sticker that went out there that says, I found it. And what that was it was like, you found God. I'm going to tell you right now, none of you found God. He laid hold of you. Isn't that what the passage says? I'm running after him to lay a hold of him as he ran after me to lay a hold of me. You know what the difference is? He got a good hold on me. I don't know. I can't catch up to him. I'm trying, but I can't get there. I'm running the race. I'm pressing on. But he just keeps almost, I almost grabbed him. Not yet. But one day, I was praying with one of our elders yesterday, and he talked about when we see you, Christ, when we see you, oh, this is so good. It's so good I can't even say it right because I was caught up. He says, when I see him, I'm going to get to hug him. I'm going to get to kiss his neck. I'm going to get to show affection toward the Savior who died for me. Oh, the prize is in front of us. Run! Press on for the prize that's before you. The goal is the prize. Paul is pursuing Christ by trying to lay hold of him. I was thinking about the little woman, I think it was the little woman that had the trouble with blood, and she just, if I could just touch him. If I could just, and she never touched him. She got the hem of the garment. And what happened? She had had a trouble with bleeding for years and years and years, and no one could fix it. No one could fix it. But if I could just touch the hem of his garment, she did, and she was healed. He healed her. He healed her. And remember the narrative. Who's just touched me? Are you kidding me? Imagine being one of the apostles. Are you kidding? Jesus, we're trying to get you over here to the boat. There's about 1,000 people in the way. Everybody's touching you. But no, this one touched me in faith. She touched me believing that she could be healed if she could just touch me. Oh! If you could run the race, if you pursue him, if you would just press on, when you get close enough, there's healing there. There's a forward, there's a sanctification process taking place in your life. So that I may lay hold of that. What is that? What is that? It refers to the full knowledge of Christ. If I could just obtain the full knowledge of who he is. You know what I've learned enough about him to just be so happy? Romans 8:31. I told Pastor recently, if I could just know that I had salvation and had Romans 8:31, I think I could survive. What's 8:31? You guys know? If God is for me. And it's not if. It's a since. Since God is for me, who in the world could be against me? I think I'll press on toward him. I think I'll press on to him. Gotta hurry. And this was, I believe this is Paul looking back at his own conversion in this particular area, where he says, I'm trying to lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. He's remembering back to his Damascus role, where he got knocked off his high horse. Christ laid hold of him. And this is something interesting. Let me tell you, I don't know what your beliefs are sometimes. I know what they should be. But once he gets a hold of you, once you accept him and he's got a hold of you, you're in the race automatically, but he ain't never letting go. You can't get away. No, if he gets you, he's got you. Amen? Oh my goodness, that's good stuff. Now that he's laid hold of me, I want to lay hold of him. One thing I do, he's got a singular focus. One thing I do, listen to this. One supreme goal, everything else is subordinate, that he might know Christ more fully, that he might become more like him. We need to be people with one ambition. We get so sidetracked by everything else in life, we lose our ambition for the one thing that really matters. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Listen to what he says here in verse 13. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it. He said, he's repeating it again. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. One thing I do. It's one thing. It's one thing I do. And it's a negative and there's a positive there. I forget about the past and I just keep moving forward. Three things here. He passed, what do you have to forget? What do you have to forget? You have to forget your past sins. You have to forget your past sufferings, and you have to forget your past successes. They all have traps in them. If I get too concerned about my past sins, then I'm acknowledging that he can't really forgive me. Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. I may not be saying it out loud, but that's what you're saying. If I keep getting tripped up by a past sin, I keep saying, well, I did these wicked things when I wasn't saved. Well, no one did more wicked things than Paul did before he met Christ. He had to forget about those and keep moving forward. And so it's interesting. God certainly forgets about it. Why don't you? Right? Look at Hebrews 10:17. I'll remember their sins no more. Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You know what no means? It means no, none, zero, zip. Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. And then this one, who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellion, and you've cast all their sins in the depth of the sea? Micah. I know I had to dig deep for that one. Micah 7:18. It's in the sea, it's in the depths of the sea. He's cast it away. You know, with all our brilliance, we can't get to the bottom of the sea. That's interesting, isn't it? And watch out for your past sufferings, and Paul had lots of them. And then watch out for your past successes. Your past success will paralyze you from doing anything in the future. If all you do is rest on your laurels and think about, and we, I think Pastor one time was preaching and he said, don't be reading your own newspaper articles. Don't do that. Because it'll stop you from moving forward. You got to stop and look back. What happens to the runner when he looks back? He trips. Or another runner runs right past him. Yeah, that's what happens. Okay, last thing I'm going to do. And then you got to reach forward. What lies ahead? If you forget about the past and reach into the future. I know I haven't always done everything I need to do, but that doesn't mean I can't do the right things in the future. I got to look forward. Got to keep moving forward. Sins, put them in your rearview mirror. Your past accomplishments, rearview mirror. Your suffering, rearview mirror. And I know, trust me. You've been hurt by somebody in church. That's a suffering for Christ. Just suffer and keep moving. Just keep moving. Because the closer they are to you, the harder it is to forgive them. It's amazing how that works. All right. Here we go. Last thing. And then I'll shut up. Well, I won't shut up, but I'll stop preaching. Are you in the race? That's the question. Have you been born again? Are you here today and you've never understood that terminology even? Have you repented of your sins? Have you turned to Christ and entrusted your life and soul to Christ? This Christ, I hope I can read this. I have to read it because I'll just start crying. This Christ who was born of a virgin, this Christ who lived a sinless and perfect life, this Christ who lived a life of perfect obedience unto the law of God and fulfilled all righteousness on our behalf, this Christ who was lifted up on a cross and all the sins of all the people who would ever believe upon him were transferred to him, and him who knew no sin, God made sin for us. This Christ who bore our sins in his body upon the cross, this Christ who suffered the wrath of God that was deserving of us, it fell upon him and crushed him. This Christ who was taken down from the cross and buried in a borrowed tomb, this Christ who on the third day raised himself from the dead, who said, I have authority to lay my life down and I have authority to take it back up again. This commandment I have received from my Father. Have you believed upon this Christ? If you have believed that about him, and you're not running the race, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you pressing on? You're waiting for somebody to come tell you something new? You don't need anything new. You need obedience to what you do know. This Christ who ascended back to heaven and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf, by the way, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You today can be saved. And don't say, I came to Valley Bible for years, I must be a Christian. No, you're not. That doesn't make you a Christian any more than going in your car making you a garage. Going in your garage making you a car. It doesn't work that way. You go out in your garage all you want to, you're never going to be a car. You come in this building all you want to, that doesn't make you a Christian. Oh, I don't want you to get fooled or deceived by Satan to think that because you came to Valley Bible and you're now a Christian. That is not true. You must place saving faith in him. Yes, have you believed upon this Christ, that whosoever shall call on his name, have you ever thrown yourself upon the mercy of this Christ? And God said, be merciful to me, and said to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, I did it. And oh, what a relief afterward, because he did save me. This Christ who says, him who comes unto me, I will not nowise cast out. This Christ who is the friend of sinners, and this Christ who has come not for the righteous but for the unrighteous. This Christ who is the physician of the soul, who has come not for those who are well but for those who are sick. This Christ will receive you. He will embrace you. He will forgive you of your sins. He will pardon you. He will clothe you with his own righteousness if you will but believe in him and come to him with humble, trusting, saving faith. Have you ever believed in this Christ? Hallelujah if you have. If you haven't, I got great news. If so, you are in the race. But where are you in the race? Where are you in the race? Are you a long way down the track? Are you reaching forward to what lies ahead? Are you speeding up or slowing down? The one that slows down at the end of the race usually loses it. There's a thing, we used to call it, you have to kick at the end. When I ran distances, and I ran them very briefly because I hated it. Why are we just running for no reason, it felt like. But at the end, you saved a kick. You sprinted at the end. And are you speeding up or slowing down? Well, I'm just kind of old and tired, you know, and I've did Sunday school for 25 years, and I've kind of retired from that. Well, what did you retire to? Because God has an unbelievable way of letting you know when you're done. Well, actually, it's a believable way. When you're done, you know when you're done? When you don't breathe anymore. Because I don't think I'm wrong in this, you can retire from a position in the church, but you can't just retire. You can say, okay, I'm going to stop doing that, but I still want to be serving the Lord, and I still want to be involved, and I'm still wanting to press on. I want to still know him. I still want to continue to minister to people. That's what you do. So are you speeding up or slowing down? And then I guess the last question for you. Is he your one ambition? Or are you double-minded? And only you get to answer that. You're the one that knows if you're being double-minded. He knows, and you know. And you can't hide it from him. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you that you didn't save us and then leave us here to try and figure out what's going on. You gave us the word, and we can actually know your will in our lives. And we can know how to press on. We can know if we're pressing on in the right way or the wrong way. It's all about your will, not ours. And so I would pray for the folks here that are believers in Christ. If they haven't been running the race, you don't have to go back to the beginning again. Just pick up and keep running. Just pick up and keep running. Just tell God right now. Tell him. Tell him where you're at. Lord, I'm sorry for sitting down on the job. I want to press on toward you. And if you're not a believer, I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you after service. I'll be right here in the front. God, if someone's here, if the Holy Spirit is in the doing his ministry of conviction, I pray today would be the day of salvation for that individual, that they wouldn't leave here without at least asking some questions. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.